Okay, we're on Brachas Nun Beis Amud Aleph. There's a lot here. Okay, let's begin. So the Gemara talks about Beis Shammai Birkas Hayom Adif Mavarchen Hayayin. Atanya Nichnas LeBeiso B'Motzei Shabbos. What's the order of Havdalah? Mavarch Al Hayayin Al Maor B'Samim, and afterwards Havdalah. Right, the whole discussion back and forth. What's the order? We talked a little bit about yesterday the concept Iyula Yome versus Apuke Yome, the entrance of Shabbos or the exit of Shabbos. What, you know, what's the order? What do you mention first? Apuke Yome Kama Demacha Achrina Le Adif. Right, when you're bringing in is perhaps delaying better by Mitzias Shabbos. Meaning, sorry, when Shabbos is going out, the more you delay, the better. Versus when it's coming in, you want to have Zrizim Makdim and Lemitzos and bring it in quicker. The Gemara says, we talked about the Braisa, and the Braisa says, if you only have one cup, so you figure out what you do. Beit Shammai Birka Samalza needs a cup. So what do you do in terms of if you want to drink from the cup, but also use a Kos Shel Bracha? Do you need the same cup, not a same cup? Okay, we also have Notlin the Adayim for the Suda, and then afterwards you pour the cup. Right? Again, just different discussions of What's the order over here? But it's really analyzing the Mishnah that we had at the beginning of the parak. We're going to get to all this. We're going to break it down. Let's see what else is on our daf here. A kli that becomes tamei achara b'mashkin, that becomes tamei versus the inside. What do you clean first? Clean first b'mapa. You have that over here. Mechabdenes abayis, so on and so forth. Let's just first give a little bit of the parish of the Mishnah that it's talking about over here. So the Mishnah that's commenting on, first of all, is the Mishnah in Perek Ches of Mishnah Gimel, where Beit Shammai says, "Mekanech yadav b'mape, you clean your hands b'mape, umanicha l'shulchan, you put it on the table." So what are we talking about, putting it on the table? So the idea of Beit Shammai here is talking about the shita of another machlokus between them and Beit Shammai, and this is what it's about. Are you allowed to eat on a table which is sheni l'tumah? What does that mean? So even though a table is made out of what's called pshute kliyetz, it's a straight piece of wood, right? Meaning any kli which does not have a receiving receptacle, it doesn't have a receptacle basin in it. That is what you call a pshute kliyetz. Pshute kliyetz. It's not mekabel tuma midaraisa.
However, you need a table. If you have a regular wooden table,
what's mekabel tuma? Things which receive. Typically, things which are a cup is mekabel tuma. Things which receive. A table is a flat piece of wood. There's no base kibble. There's no receiving receptacle. It's called pshute kliyetz, and therefore it cannot be mekabel tuma midaraisa. However, it can be mekabel tuma midarabanan. A table can be mekabel, a piece of wood can be mekabel tuma midarabanan. Why? Because the Chachamim made a gzera on kelim that you serve people, right, so on and so forth, and therefore they mekabel tuma even if they are pshutim. They don't have a receptacle. So, for example, a table that you eat on it, it serves the purpose of what a human needs. Now, if you put on it the kalim for eating, and that's how it serves a person. Okay, so that's what it means. The question is, can you eat at a table that is a sheni latuma, a secondary tuma? Let's explain. A shulchan that touches the ava tuma, right? A shulchan that touches principal tuma. Let's say a dead body, right? It touches a dead body. That table becomes a rishon latuma. Right? A guy's on the table and passes out. Okay? He's dancing and he passes out in Purim, he finishes. That table becomes a Rishon Latuma, and it's usher to use that table for a Suda, according to everybody, because it's Metame the Ochlim that are put on it. It's Metame the Ochlim. But a Shulchan that's a Sheni Latuma, that's not going to Metame the Chulin that are going to be put on it, because Chulin don't become Tame from a Sheni Latuma. A shulchan that became a sheni latuma, a secondary tuma, if it touched mashkim tumeim, it's mitumeim kelim midrabanan, and it makes them a sheni. Now, even though we hold Beit Shammai that you should not use it during a suda, even a shulchan sheni, because a gzera of people who are eating truma, because the kohanim who eat truma are also to use a shulchan that is a sheni, since a sheni can passel truma, it can ruin truma.
How do you get rid of the table that's truma?
You dip the table in there. You dip it in a mikvah. You dip the table in a mikvah.
What makes it a sheni?
Again, that it touched something. Let's say it touched a dead body. It becomes a rishon,
yeah.
Right? And let's say that thing which became a rishon now touches the table itself.
It seems to be from a sheretz over there in the Gemara that it's not
good. Yes. Good, that's fine. Now, the Kohanim shouldn't use we don't want the Kohanim to come and use the Shulchan Sheni, the Kohanim made Gzera, not to use a Shulchan Sheni Besuda at all, even for people who are not eating Truma. Now, since according to Beit Shammai, it's usher to use a shulchan that's a sheni, they were afraid that they'd put the dish towel on top of the table they washed their hands with. And because the shulchan is, let's say, for example, a shulchan is tahor, and that we're not afraid that the mashke is going to receive tumah from the shulchan. But if you put the mape, the cloth, on the chair, there's a chashash that maybe the chair is a rishon or a sheni, right? Now, if the mape is moist, it's going to metame the chair, the mashke and the mape, and now it's going to become a rishon. And therefore, when you wash your hands in this cloth, the whole suda, the mashka, the liquid that's now in the mappa, is going to metame your hand, and it's going to turn out you're eating with yadayim that are tameos. Therefore, Beit Shammai paskind, don't put the mappa on the chair, meaning except on the table. Why on the table? Because again, on the table we have that gzera not to eat on a table that's a sheni lutuma. So I have no fear that my shmata is going to become tame and put it on the table. Right? That's what their opinion is.
But you might use it again. The table.
No, again, the table we have to keep clear of even a sheni l'tumah we paskin. Okay? Since that's the case, we don't have to worry that when we have a moist towel we've been using, we don't have to worry putting it on the table because nothing's going to happen to it. Okay? Therefore, Beit Shammai says, Mekanech yadav memape umaniecha al shulchan. Better to keep it on the table because you know your table's free and clear. Okay? Beis Hillel, though, holds that it's mutter to eat on a table that's a sheni. He says you could eat on a sheni because we know a sheni does not ruin food that's a chulin. It only ruins truma. Okay? And we're not going to make a gzera for the people who eat truma.
So a kohen could have it too?
No, a kohen, ochli truma should not. But people who are eating truma, ochli truma are not. You may sell this enough to make another gzera for all the people that are makbid on truma.
What difference make if it's wet or not? That's not a, never we had in truma to transfer, does it have to be wet? The fact that it just touches the wet, it doesn't make any difference. Not absorbing because it's wet. You're touching, it's not a...
No, because it's wet, it's considered a mashke. And a mashke is able to transmit sheni. That's why. Mashke. Liquid transmits sheni. That's why.
The mape.
Yeah, from the mape. That's
why
we care.
Even though it's not
ochel. Meaning, sheni's moves through mashke, through liquid, through moisture. That's why we know you wash your hands by Pesach night before the... when you're dipping in the liquid. Okay, so Beis Hillel's holding that we never made such a gzera, and therefore, since we never made such a gzera, you could put it right down on the chair, and you don't have to make it like disgusting to have it sitting there, the cloth right there on the table itself. Okay, so that's a background for some of the tumah that's involved in our daf. There's a lot of good topics on our daf. First of all, the Gemara talks about Rav Avadji Yosef has chidushim. On Shas, they printed up some of his chidusha, a lot of his chidushim on Shas, there's tons. And they collected from all over his halachas svarim and put it together in one sefer of chidushim. So they have from Bruch, from his sefer Yabia Omer, volume 7, Simon 37, right? So he says, in terms of Havdalah, we hold in Avuka, a torch is a mitzvah min a muvkar, right? A double wicked flame. That's a mitzvah min a muvkar. And the Rava Magid writes, the high time mishum davuka yesh ma'oras harba. The reason why a torch-like thing is good for Abdullah is because you see many lights in there. Like the lashon of the bracha we use, which is bore ma'ore ha'esh. Bore ma'ore ha'esh. Right? As it says in brachas, nun beiz ma'beiz, tuva nahure ika benur. There are many lights within the flame.
That's why you need a double when you...
Rashi says in our daf that there's a shalheves adomu v'levana v'yaroka. When you have a couple wicks like that come together, you have a flame that is red, that is blue, that is green. You have all these colors within if you look close. Now, says Rav Avadji Yosef, imkein or hachashmal, electricity, she'eino ela gavon echad, which is only one color, v'lo oras harba ein mevarach alav. Right, borei morei hoesh. You can't make a bracha borei meish. And the Magid Avraham writes, the Tamozek Divrei Rav Magid, B'Shem Ari B'Shar Kavanos Kosov Gamkein. You have to make Havdalah on a Ner Sha'ava, on a wax candle. Hilkach Ein Levarach Borei Morei Oesh Al Or Chashmal. However, Mikol Makom, says Rav Avadji Yosef, Misha Nim Tzabaderech, V'Ein Lo Ner Acher Zulas Chashmal, you can make the bracha. But wait, what's above? That was him quoting the...
He says you're not allowed.
This is just $5.
Yeah, he's saying based on this svara that the idea of borei ma'orei ha'esh, right, is multiple lights, so you shouldn't be allowed to make a bracha on chashmal. He says I found the same thing from Hagom Rav Avraham Yitzchak Cook, b'sharlus and chuvas orach mishpat shahele also levarach borei moreish al orach hashmal, because of the machlokes aposkim if you can make a bracha on this ner sheba ashashis. Ner sheba ashashis is the candle in the glass. You know they used to have it when they come with the candle in the glass.
Yes.
Right. V'kaimel on suffik brachas lahakel, that were lenient when it comes suffik brachas lahakel, better not to make the bracha. Koshkei ba'orach hashmal, where the or is tamun u'mechusa, totally covered, you should be careful about a suffik bracha levatala. V'ra'iti achrei roi b'shalos and chuvas koch ve'yitzchak sheherich l'man yaso v'siyam hinei shemati sheminoga shalagon Reb Chaim Elzer. I heard the minoga of Chaim Elzer was to make a bracha morei o'esh on electric lights. Avalo shemanu shahorim, but I never saw that he paskin for others to do that. Im kenir sheken rak lahora shah. That was an emergency situation.
But to make on Erev Shabbos.
Right.
Correct. Yes, because no borei moreish. The whole svara is not. It's not a discussion of whether it's considered a lights or not. They're considered the ner. There's not a question of there. Moore, right? The bracha of Moore is what they're concerned about
over here.
Yeah.
And when you're walking in the street and you see tons of lights out there, you see a lot of light, right? So the Gemara seems to be.
Yeah, but it's not about seeing light on Shabbos. But it's got to be a light for your home. Your home has to have light.
Huh?
Your home has to have light. Not that you're seeing light. You're seeing for Avdullah, you mean.
Yeah.
Copying by everybody's thing. So we're going to see a Nair that was lit by a Goy. Nair that's not your candle.
So
it's also our Daf.
Had someone calling up their mother Saturday night for he's making up.
At all. Okay, so a lot of good stuff within this sugya. Here. Fine. So next is another issue. Rav Yosef Engel, right, who's a big genius, Rav Yosef Engel discusses whether the machlokas of Shabbos in general are a function of what you call Isurei Gavra or Isurei Chefza. Right? Here, Rav Yosef Engel, where is it? In Esfon Deraisis, classic Sefer. Hachronim b'sifreim harichu b'chidushei svara. That all the Isurim, which are time-based Isurim, like Isur of doing Malacha on Shabbos and Yontif, are Isurei Gavrahein. They have to be Isurei Gavra. Meaning, what does that mean? In general, you have a machlok, in Lumdis, there's two ways of looking at every Isur. Is it an Isur in the object, or an Isur on me, the person? So he says, the Achronim would like to say, that the Isurim, when it comes to things based on time, they can't be Isurim in the object, they're Isurim on the person. Why? Because, for example, how could you say that pulling a leaf off a tree is an Isur in the object? It's mutter the whole week. I could do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. What changes all of a sudden on Shabbos? Me, my responsibility. It's an Isur in the Gavra, not in the Chefza. The problem is me, not the object. The Achronim want to say that, right? With Daikula, and they get it from the Yerushalmi on Shabbos, Perik Oreg, Ha'oreg, which is mechalik between a matzah gezula, where you're not stolen with, where you're not yotze with a stolen matzah, to korea b'shabbos, to yotze yedei kriya, where you can violate kriya on Shabbos on something that's not yours. Right? How come when it came to matzah, it has to be yours? Right? If you stole the matzah, you're not yotze. But if you ripped something while stealing it, right, it is kriya. Hugufa avera, because meaning if the you don't have that object, how could you, if you can't fulfill things in the object, which we see by matzah, how come you can't fulfill isurim when it comes to Shabbos? So says the Yerushalmi, see the kavod akan levilinus daiti da shas didan. He says no, it seems that our shas argues on that rule. Why? Because the shas in brachas isa dener shehidli kaku mishabbos. We're gonna get this. Our bottom of our almond spills into this to the next daf. A ner sheidliku akum b'shabbos also levarach alav b'motzei Shabbos, right? A ner that a non-Jew lights on Shabbos, you cannot make a bracha on it on motzei Shabbos. Bipnei shalo shavos b'malecha savera, because it did not rest from malecha savera. Now, if you want to say that it's all based on the gavra, what do you mean? What Shabbos malecha? The non-Jew lit it. What's the problem that the candle didn't rest? What do I care if the candle rested or not? Right?
Was it your event or some strange person?
Yeah.
No, ner shliku akum.
Maybe
ner shliku akum. It doesn't even say your own eved. Ner shliku akum you can't use because the ner wasn't shavas. What do you mean ner v'shavas? I thought we said all the ma'isa shabbos, things that are based on time, are an isser in the gavra. You see it's in the Chefza. We wanted something that wasn't that was resting on Shabbos. So says the Esvan Daraisa, Rav Yosef Engel, he wants to say this is a machlokes Bavli and the Yerushalmi. Bavli and the Yerushalmi. Beautiful, based on our sugya. Very interesting, tie into machlokes, whether or not you have Yisuri Gav, Yisuri Chefza there.
So if you had a Nair before Shabbos, what? That was still on light over after Shabbos, let's say you had a Yahrzeit candle that was, you lit it before Shabbos, but it stayed on after Shabbos. Could you use that as a Nair? Could you use that as Avdallah?
Before Shabbos that stayed on, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
But it stayed on through the whole Shabbos, so after Shabbos.
Right, it said it was supposed to, wasn't allowed to be lit on Shabbos. Right, it wasn't supposed to be lit, but then it was going with all Shabbos, it's fine. Now, this issue always with the after Yom Kippur, what candle do you use after Yom Kippur is always a whole thing. Now, the Achronim have a similar machlokas around the same issue. For example, the Chasam Sofer discusses why Amira La'akum. Why Amira La'akum needs on Shabbos a unique gzera? Why did it need its own gzera of Amira La'akum, not to ask a non-Jew to do something? Just say it's prohibited because the non-Jew is acting as a shaliach of the Jew to do the malacha. That's why it's Asr on Shabbos. So he says that on Shabbos, the foundation of the Isser Malacha is that Jewish bodies should rest. There's nothing inherently wrong with the actual Malacha being performed. And therefore, that's why we needed a special gzera of Amir La'akum. Because without that, I wouldn't have known it's right. You understand? You hear the question? It's a great question. There's a gzera of Amir La'akum. You can't ask a non-Jew to just do everything for you on Shabbos. Why do I need that gzera? Just say he's doing the Malacha for me, and therefore he's my shaliach. Because at the end of the day, the action he's doing is nothing actually wrong. It's mutter on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's me who can't do things. It's me, the gavro, who can't do things. That's what Chasam Sofer says. So the stipler, yes.
If you're making him a shaliach kamoisa, so that's why I wouldn't
believe. Yeah, but at the end of the day, if you say it's an Isser Gavra, Isser in the individual, not in the Maisa, me, the Gavra, hasn't actually, I haven't performed anything. He's doing it for me, but I haven't done anything. So the stipler argues, says the Nemuke Yosef argues with this Chasam Sofer. Why? The Nemuke Yosef says that according to the opinion that Esho Mishum Chitzio, right? The Gemara has two opinions of Baba Kama, whether it is Esh Mishum Chitzio or not. So Esho Mishum Chitzio means that your fire is like your arrow, right? If I light a fire over here and it goes damage in your backyard, I'm responsible. Why? Because it's like I lit an arrow and shot it into your yard. And it means that the fire, whatever it does later on, relates back to the person who lights it. So why is it mutter to light a candle before, famous Nemuki, this is a world famous Nemuki Yosef. It's something, you have to memorize this one, the famous one. Why is it mutter to light a candle before Shabbos and let it burn on Shabbos? Wouldn't it be considered as if the person is actively lighting on Shabbos? So yeah, it's a famous answer to Nemuki Yosef. He says that while Esha Meshum Chetzio does relate to everything back to the person who lit it, right? The entire sequence of events is considered to already be done from the beginning. That's what it means. It's already done. I finished everything back to the beginning. And therefore, since it was done before Shabbos, it's not Usser. So says the stipler that according to the Chasam Sofer, there should be a much simpler answer. There's no problem with the candle burning on Shabbos because no Jew is doing anything wrong. The fact that the Nemuke Yosef gives a different answer, this whole fancy answer, because as though the whole thing happened from the beginning, shows that he doesn't agree with the Chasam Sofer's Yesod altogether. And to violate Shabbos, it doesn't even need to be you actively. It has to associate with you. And therefore, from that, the stipler wants to say the Chasam Sofer, you see, against the Chasam Sofer. By the way, this Nemuke Yosef is used by the Munkacher in a funny way to explain in the Megillah. In the Megillah, when the daughter of Haman, or the wife of Haman, throws the dung on his head, right? She throws the garbage out the window. It says it was Avel the Chafui Rosh. He was an Avel and he was Chafui Rosh. So ask the Rishonim on the Megillah. It should be the opposite. Chafui Rosh happened first and then Avel. Why is it Avel and Chafui Rosh, right? Avel means an Avel. He wasn't an Avel. There was only a Velus after she dropped the dung and realized, oh my gosh, what did I do? And she flung herself from the window. So it should be Chafui Rosh ve'Avel, the opposite. Why is it Avel ve'Chafui Rosh? So says the Munkacher Rebbe, the answer is based on the, he says B'derech Tzachos, that he doesn't take it 100% seriously. But he's answering, it's Purim Torah, but he's answering based on the Nemuke Yosef. That Nemuke Yosef says, the second she started to take the garbage, to throw it out the window, already, everything was done from that first Maisa. Everything was already done. The moment she did this, it was already an Avel. So, no. Avel v'chafoy rosh. Meaning, that it was already, the mess already happened now, is already an Avel already at the beginning. That's why Avel v'chafoy rosh.
When you shoot an arrow,
So
yeah.
Be done, everything's
going to
be done.
What?
The shooting is the whole
mess. Yeah, so that's what it says. You are responsible. When it does damage afterwards, yeah. It goes back to you, what you did at the beginning. 100%. And they're great nafkaminas. Let's say you're a minor when you shot the arrow, and now when it hits, you became a gadol. Lots of good. There's lots of good stuff with that. Yeah, it might be chayv over there.
You
chayv?
A rock from thing, and then somebody walks into it.
You're right, you throw chayv. Down the thing, and you shoot it downward. Are you chayv?
The guy walks, he's not yeah. there. You drop it down, yeah. The guy happens to walk
yeah.
in.
These are all great sugyas in Bava Kama. The guy who smashes the stuff while it comes down, new guy there, he pulls the pillow. When you threw it, there was a pillow there, and he pulls it. These are great sugyas in Bava Kama. Let's continue ahead. Another great sugya on our daf is Beit Shammai holds Birkas Hamaza needs a cup, Tona Kraus. And therefore, the Gemara says, "Bo lehem yayin achra amazon." If wine came after the imed amotzi, im ein sham ella also akos. If that's the only cup you have, Beit Shammai says mevarach ala yayin, and then afterwards mevarach ala yazon. So my love, the mevarach iluya v'shasi leilo, the mevarach iluya menan emachle. Okay, mitzarech litom. We say the mevarach also needs to taste. The further question is that the one who makes the bracha needs to taste, and you're going to have tasted from the cup, and the cup now is going to be pogum. Can you now use it for something else?
Well, why can't you use the cup?
There's halacha people don't realize here, that once you taste from the cup of wine, let's say I make kiddush for you, and I drink from it, I can't now use that for somebody else, because it's a pogum wine. I drank from it. It's been pogum already. So I need to refresh.
Pogum is what?
Pogum means it's been infracted upon. It's been diminished, because I drank from it already. So everyone says, oh, just refill, add some more. No, it doesn't work. You have to do a whole. You have to redo the whole cup. So you have to first add some wine into it, then pour it back into the bottle, then pour it back into the cup to make it unpogum. You have to unpogum your wine.
How do they do it? How do you do it?
That's how they do it. I unpogum. Well, who's they?
Huh? I mean, what we do, let's say I drink a little and I give it over to my wife.
No, because you already, she's being yotze from your kiddush. I'm saying if you now want to use another cup, someone walks in 10 minutes later.
Yes.
Oh, Moishi just came home. You make a kiddush, Moishi. Here's my cup. I have most of it left. No, he needs to use a new... Everything needs to be new. You can't just use pogum wine. Or you have some huge coat, you know, you have a little bit, you have a cup, you pour it in, and there's a little bit of wine left. You can't pour it back into the bottle. You're now ruining the bottle. You're taking pogum wine and putting it back into the bottle. What you got to do is, if you don't want to waste all this wine, is you pour new wine into that cup, and then you take that cup and pour it back into the bottle, and then you're good. By the way, Kos Shel Eliyahu, no one's drinking from the Kos Shel Eliyahu. But no one alive is drinking from it. And therefore, because of the post, can say not to violate Bal Tashchis. You have this huge cup. Don't waste it. At the end of the night, pour it back into the thing.
Pogum.
It's not pogum at all. Yeah. Okay, so now let's finish with this sugya. So with this idea that the mevarech tzarech shiitom, the Gemara says the one making the bracha should be tasting. So the Gemara is strange, because manachayinu mevarech bari pegavish is a pshita to have a bracha levatala. V'amai be'ina laha damar mar mevarech tzari litam, d'mar be'kos shal bracha. Why do you need to have a special rule that the one making a blessing needs to taste from it? What would I think? Any birkas, you make a bracha, you don't eat from it. It's a bracha levatala. But su, and furthermore, my shat dahi damar mar, mavarach tzach lacha, la bekosha bracha, birkas and enol, it's fine. Well, I'm going to give you this svara over here. One second. Ervin, bir, mavarach tzach shitam. Yeah, here's the list. The idea that one who makes the bracha needs to taste is very tricky. What it really means is, when you make a bracha, somebody needs to taste from that cup. The ganai hu lekos shel bracha shelo yahadam mimenu. It's a ganai for the kos shel bracha not to have someone who's going to get benefit from it. Right? And therefore, if you give it to somebody else to drink, if I make the hagafen in the house, while you should ideally drink from it, if you pass it on to somebody to drink, that would perhaps be permissible. Okay, that would be.
So I'd say kiddush, okay? I could just not drink it and I could make the kiddush.
Let's see if he brings
it
down here.
Not drink it and give it over to somebody
yeah,
else.
Yeah, so ideally speaking, you're supposed to drink it, right? But if you pass it on to somebody to drink, you would be that would be yotze that way. One would be yotze. So hold on, let me just find this.
You don't miss anything.
That's funny. Okay.
Challah, you start eating challah, so you see, take another pizza. Pizza, you know, you only
pizza,
have one.
Pizza, yeah, you got it.
That's hilarious.
But you see how small those pieces are?
Yeah, very small. Okay, so the.
Nothing you anymore.
Yeah. Okay. So the a lot of more good topics here. Here we go. So Nun Beis Amin Aleph. All right. The Gemara then says on Nun Beis, That one shouldn't throw away the crumb. You should be careful not to just lose all your crumbs. It's kasha lanius. It's difficult for poverty, right? You have to be careful not to just waste all your stuff and throw it away like that. So, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein here talks about mali hischazek shloti anius bi Yisrael. What should the things a person be careful on to minimize poverty among the Jewish people? So number one, he says, lizaher shetfilin yemurubas kedin. Make sure your tefillin are squared properly. Right, varitzuis yeshchoris. Your string should be black, and your parshias should be written by a sofer who's kosher v'yir shemayim, and it should be put in the right place on your head. People sometimes have the tefillin flapping around here or there whenever they're walking around. You should be careful that your tzitzis should be nikna adam kosher, right? You should have tzitzis that are done lishma. That's why many people are makbid to make their own, tzitzis. Lizar levarach birkas amazon bekavana. You should daven birkas amazon with kavana, right? Because many are makbid that lashmia ozdan. You got to hear what you're saying. And mele, without that, might be a bracha levatola. So he says that they tell about Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Gaon Shlomo Orbach should be a mei machla so chazer pa'mayim al tesu. When he was sick, he went over twice on the words noda lecha, right? Al shinchat lavosenu. Why you repeat it? They say noda lecha chayiv lios b'chol kavana. And noda lecha has to be, your gratitude has to be with full kavana. The rest of it, that's not Torah. Ein ze Torah. But to have noda lecha with full kavana is ma'akev. I don't know. Okay, so he goes through a bunch of things that he heard our school is here for making sure that one is away from poverty. Kisha'ola v'tar, when you're called up to the Torah, yomar barchu ubracha l'Torah, b'kol ram, out loud, so that tzibur can hear. And if you say it quietly, you steal it from them. Okay?
So
where did he get these from? I got these all, this whole list, he has nine things, I skipped some because of time. This whole list I got from a notebook published by the Gon Mekodjaglov. By the Kodja Glover. Kadesh Shaloya Anios be Yisrael. So should not be poverty among the Jewish people. And I think his words are based on the Gemara in Nedarim Zayin Mabez. Shekol Makom Shaskar Hashem Letzuyah. Wherever Hashem's name Batola is common, that's where poverty is in mitzvah, and that's where poverty is around. So any place where Hashem's name is going to be invoked, one has to be careful how they're invoking it and to do it Kavanah. But now I want to close with this. One should add on his holy words of the Gon of Kodjaglov from the Tosus in Brachas Daf Nun Beis and Mebeis. Our Tosus, our Daf about the crumbs. Shadorech ala pirurim, says that you step on the pirurim, on the crumbs, you cause poverty. Pam Avarti, once I passed by a Gon Rav Michal Feinstein. Vereiti es bnei beso mitamim es acheder hamadregos lamaro shayasha minake kavur macheder hamadregos. And I saw that his children metatatim et cheder hamadregos. They would clean out the steps. Right? B'cholzot miharu tate shloid chalpirum. They will be careful. Why the steps? They always clean to make sure people do not step on the crumbs. Since the kids go and they're eating, and while they're running up and down, the kids are eating. But also kachtesh lady did it. There should not be anias be Yisrael. That Rav Michal Feinstein is makbid. The people in his house should clean always the stairs, the place where people walk the most. You should not have people stepping all over crumbs.
Eat outside also. That's
what? Perhaps.
Go ahead.